This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Y'all just heard a few minutes of awkward silence as Lady Bunny figured out how to turn her jitterbug off. This is part of the chorus with old Bun Bun.
It's a new phone and I can't find my granny readers.
What kind of phone did you get?
The latest iPhone, which is already horrible. I'm an Apple product user all the way, but they are demonic.
You know, since you are so progressive and anti the status quo, I would think you'd be more of an Android girl.
Why is that? Because they're more PC.
they're more.
I don't mean PC. My favorite kind of jokes are the ones that I tell and can't even get myself because I'm too old and stupid. But why are Androids more progressive?
No, I don't know. I feel like a lot of my friends who are progressive and very super left-leaning, the majority of them are Android users. I don't know what the correlation is, but y'all super, super, super all the way to the left, not even an inch towards anything else, y'all be on some Android shit. And that's not a negative or a positive. I'm just saying an observation I've made in my life.
Yeah, well, you know, my friend, I'm never going to be tech-oriented. Shocker. And my friend, the drag queen from New York named Cachetta.
Cachetta.
She taught me how to, she said she could use PC and Mac, and she taught me how to use a computer way back before she passed. And so everyone can blame, if you hate my social media posts, you can blame the dead drag queen, Cachetta. You can dig her up and prosecute her. She taught me how to connect.
They have to dig up and prosecute Biden. By the time they prosecute him, girl, he's going to be dead and gone. Okay.
Oh, well.
I'm kidding.
Trump's not far behind him. And you know, Bernie Sanders got one foot in the grave, the other on a banana peel. He had a heart attack during his last campaign.
Wait, who had a heart attack?
Bernie Sanders.
He had a heart attack during his last campaign?
Yes, honey. One foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel.
No, he had a heart attack. Honestly, I know there is an age limit where you can start to run for president. There needs to be a cutoff date. I think 70 is it. You should not be in public office after 70 years old. You know, it's 75.
Yeah. So like you're saying, so what you're saying is hurry up and run, Bunny.
Because you only have, what, 3 more years?
70s. Yeah. No, back to the Android thing. I think a lot of progressives are angry at the stronghold that Apple has, because once you get into their products, as I did, and you only use Apple products,
girl,
then they really do, like, you know, change iTunes to where it's, you know, all the DJs who are more tech savvy than me complain about it because they're trying to force you to join Apple Music, which I hate to be old and remind y'all of this, but when you buy an artist's music,
I know,
you're really supporting them. Yeah. Apple Music is just trying to be like Spotify, where you pay a tiny amount to, you know, join, and the artists don't really get paid, even if they're huge hits.
When I really like an artist, I always buy their music. And even I don't care if it's Beyonce. Like, I bought Beyonce's album, I bought SZA's album, I bought Jasmine Sullivan's album. Instead of just I buy them, but then I only stream them just because I want to support that artist because I really like them and I want my dollars to go to them.
I do too, but it's also with me an old age thing because I want a physical download of the music. You know, sometimes
a download is not physical.
Well, it's, I can click on it and I own it though. I own the MP3, you know, and I can put it onto my USB stick and, cause I'm too old to DJ with a laptop. So, you know what? There's other reasons to dislike Apple in terms of progressives because they don't pay much taxes. I think they moved their headquarters offshore to Ireland so that they don't have to pay taxes. Amazon gets away with paying almost zero taxes. That's what progressives want, to stop the sweetheart deals with giant corporations that the government gives them that makes them, you know, unable to able to get away with not paying taxes, because we want that money from the giant corporations to go to canceling student debt and blah 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 blah.
Yeah. Well, Bunny, it's been a minute. How are you, girls? I feel like it's been forever since I've spoken to you. You want a little vacation?
I went to Honolulu and I had the best time.
Just for fun. You did not bring a wig, an eyelash, or a makeup brush.
Okay, so I am, nothing. But I tell you, I am so cheap that if I have those Delta upgrades
the regional and the global upgrades.
Yeah, they were expiring on January 31st, so I just booked a direct flight to Honolulu and upgraded myself with that upgrade. And honey, just slept on the way there and woke up feeling as fresh as a plumeria blossom on a lay. Yes.
Well, you know, I wouldn't picture you as much of a Honolulu girl. I feel like you would vacation in somewhere like Jamaica because they're really big black bags they have there.
Well, they don't like big white fags. the big black thing they might be sticking into you might be a knife instead of a penis. So I love jerk seasoning and I like sorry lemonade.
Oh my God, Harry, I never thought I would ever hear Bunny say the word sorrel. I'm kind of gagged right now.
Well, the funny thing about sorrel, I have a friend whose background is Jamaican, Ebony Jett, and she always does the, oh, Miss Sorrel. She always does that impersonation. And it absolutely kills me. But the reason that I know what sorrel is, we call it sorrel, is that it's also a hillbilly thing. And I'm from North Carolina. Oh, yeah. They make lemonade.
Appropriating. Oh.
Yeah, well, anyway, they found something sour that grows wild that you can put sugar in and make a drink out of. And so
name is Lady Bunny.
That's right.
I did not know that y'all have sorrel in. Wait, I am mind blown right now. I am gagged.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yep.
We got, because I would ask, what is that plant? And they would say, sorrel, you can make lemonade out of it. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Work.
But yes, I had a great time in Honolulu. I came back rested and refreshed and ready to break out of old habits that were dogging me. And I did not break out of one. I went right back into every rut.
Well, on that note, we should get into the headlines because you are on vacation, but your Instagram and Twitter sure were not.
Headliners.
You have to tell me before it comes out on Simply Rivalry about Kim Kardashian, my favorite, acquiring your SpongeBob dress. Now, when I saw you post about this, I mean, hey, she's a big star, whether I like her or not, and she's buying your dress. How did that happen? I mean, I assume she's buying it as a couch cover.
No, so I don't know. I was just. I mean, Kim would like a couch ribbed for her pleasure, but no, that's not why she's buying it. Yeah, I think that Kim Kardashian is in the business of owning iconic pieces of film and television. And if I don't know if you know, but the estate of Princess Diana, they had a sale on a bunch of her stuff, and Kim K bought that iconic legendary cross thing for like $200,000. I think she bought the blue Diana, Princess Diana, that iconic satin blue dress. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
She bought that.
It was one of my hand-me-downs.
Oh, yeah. When you were a toddler, because that's the only time y'all been the same size.
I don't need to concern myself with a mere princess because I'm a queen.
the queen of that reigns on the pits of hell. And then, so I guess she's buying some other stuff. And then my agent hit me up and like, Kim K wants to buy your sponge dress. I was like, what? No. I was like, for how much? And the original offer was $500,000. And I said, bitch, sold. Take it. Wrap it up for her. Give it to her. It's hers.
Honey, you could soak up 500 grand real cute. that's cute. I mean, listen, Ariana Grande is wearing Vivacious's Ornacia.
Ornacia.
And Carrie Colby was wearing a Versace dress of J-Lo. So, this is a trend. You know, I wonder who's going to put a top bid on RuPaul's wrestling mask and tracksuit.
Do you think RuPaul still has that? He may still have it.
I would have burnt it. No.
Well, I mean, a part of me, I was like, I wonder, like, what is, like, why is Kim K doing this? Is it, like, should I hold on to it? Like, is there a reason that am I being stupid by selling it? But I was like, no, bitch, I can make a new one and pretend like it's the original.
She might want to sniff the crotch. She likes big black men.
How dare you? I'm a big black queen.
Oh, okay. But maybe she doesn't care. Look at her fucking father-in-law.
Oh, my God.
I mean, whatever.
Mother-in-law. Yeah, I wonder if they call her. Anyway.
And so how does that, so what? So the dress goes into Kim's possession. Mm-hmm. And what? She models it? Or she just has it in a museum? Or you go with her and take a picture? How does that, I mean.
Could you imagine she bought the dress and she bought me too on some like indentured servitude shit. So I'm just locked away in Kim K's house with that dress on until the end of time.
Well, you would cost a lot less than $500,000.
Yeah, $499.
Yeah.
$400,000. Yeah. I don't know. I guess she's going to put it on display somewhere. Or maybe she's starting some like reality TV museum. Like, maybe she's starting some Madame Tussauds or Ripley's like reality TV museum thing. Who knows? I don't know.
And okay, like Ripley's Believe It or Not, and then the caption underneath your dress is some booger actually wore this. Some booger actually competed in a dress covered with sponges.
I bet you no other girl on Drag Race thought that something that they made would sell for $500,000. So jokes on them, honey. Jokes on you, bitch.
Uh-oh. Well, if you put it that way. I mean, hey, $500,000. Wow. So maybe she'll come on the podcast and talk about why she wanted that dress.
I mean, we're friends now, so I can text. You know, let me text her right now and see what she says. Maybe she can hop on this one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I do have Cher and Beyonce on hold. for this podcast for the second topic. But I guess we could go with Kim. I mean,
well, real quick before we get into the topics, have you seen who Cher is dating right now?
Yes.
That's yes, Amber Rose's ex-boyfriend. I am gagged that they're a couple. I am fucking geeked that Cher is dating Amber Rose's ex-boyfriend. He's the one that she tattooed her forehead with.
Oh, well, honey, maybe he likes a finger up his booty like Amber said Kanye does.
No, Vivica Fox did that about Kanye.
Oh, I thought it was Amber. Okay.
No, Vivica Fox. Yeah.
Well, I would say with all of Cher's gay fans, honey, she must know how to finger pop a booty hole.
I mean, he allegedly like proposed to her. She's wearing this like finger on her wedding. She's wearing like this engagement ring. I was like, imagine if Cher marries this dude. Like, that would be crazy, girl. That would be wild.
He is cute, and he does look sweet. He looks nice.
But do you really think there is a relationship between a 70-year-old person, and I think he's like 27 or 30 years old. Like, do you think there can legitimately be love in a real relationship there?
Well, there was a relationship between a 60-year-old New York City drag queen and a 20-year-old man last night.
Oh.
His name was Father Time, Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not uncommon for celebrities to pair up with people, you know, to make a statement or even to get people talking. Old, you know, 1950s studios would put, you know, say, go with this star to this premiere to get tongues wagging. I would hope that Cher doesn't, you know, need to do this, do that at her point in her career. She's not like breaking into show business. Maybe she just likes the guy and, you know, he is cute. And that's the thing about, you know, having all that surgery to where you look decades younger, is that maybe you would attract younger men, but your pussy still smell like dust.
No, they have those vaginoplasties where, bitch, they can snap your pussy back to when you were 18 years old. That's the thing. I'm having one done next month on my ass.
Okay, I don't know how we got from Cher to how stretched out your asshole is, unless you're trying to say that this young man has stretched Cher's out.
I mean, his name is Alexander Edwards, and he is 36 years old. Cher is 76, so that means there's a 40-year age difference between the two. And listen, I'm not saying anything about age. I'm just wondering, like, in terms of, like, conversations they're having at night, and like, what are you talking about over dinner? Like, how much is there? How can we?
Not TikTok. You don't talk about TikTok or twerking with Cher.
Or maybe she do. Maybe Cher be throwing it back on the dick. Maybe he be laying on that bed and Cher be putting her ass in his face and twerking from now to kingdom come, girl. Do you believe in this ass after love, girl? I don't know. We don't know what Cher's doing.
Well, I just would urge her to be careful with getting fucked in the ass, because at my age, the dolls take a good bit of fiber. So just be careful with that.
Well, let's get into the topics, shall we, Lady Bunny?
Yes. Ebony. Irony.
But first up, we're going to talk about Miss Beyoncé Giselle Knowles-Carter performing at, she performed in Dubai at the opening of Atlantis the Royale in Dubai, and it is met with a lot of controversy. People are upset. Well, more so her queer fans seem to be very upset that Beyoncé is performing in the UAE, because the UAE has very strict, you know, laws against the LGBTQIA+ community, and we're obviously not welcome there to live our lives openly, honestly, and freely. There are many people who live in this part of the world who cannot live free and be who they are. So a lot of queer fans are a little disgruntled with Beyonce that she would perform in Dubai. But I mean, the performance came with a $35 million price tag. I'm gonna say that again. They paid Beyonce $35 million to perform there at this Atlantis opening. That is, and that's not even the production cost. That's not like what it costs. I'm sure that's not what it costs. Maybe it was all inclusive for her and her team. But like, I don't imagine it. I think that if you're paying Beyonce $35 million, you're also paying for her flights. You're paying for all the dancers to come over. Like, you're paying for all that stuff. So I don't think that's even including production costs. That sounds insane to me.
Yeah. Well, listen. This is why I like to talk with you about this, because you're so much younger. And look, anyone can go perform.
$34 million.
Okay.
No,
I thought 24 million pounds. I thought it was 24 million pounds.
24 million pounds, which came out to $34 million around.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyone can go anywhere and. Okay.
Jay, what?
What difference is. Right.
For one, for 1 hour of work. Yeah.
Okay. But any performer can go anywhere and perform at any time, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we make our own decisions about that. And you may be a politically correct person and not care where you perform. And that is your right. And people can, and it is people's right to bitch about that. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you one of my favorite, I'll tell you a really easy example. So maybe 20 years ago, when I was not engaged in politics at all, I performed in Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. Since then, I have familiarized myself with what's going on in Tel Aviv with Palestinians. I would not perform there now, knowing what I know. And I feel that would be betraying my principles. Now, I also do not, when I see my friends like Bianca, Shangela, and Jinx, Sherry Vine go and perform in Tel Aviv, I don't feel that it's my position to hunt them down based on a choice that they made. Mm-hmm. About, you know, because let's get this one thing out of the way that is that people are, you know, centering this on. It's $24 million. I would do anything for $20 million. Or most people would do anything for $24 million. That kind of obscures the fact that Beyonce doesn't need the money like everyone else does. Mm-hmm. And so the reason that people are being aggravated over this, like the more PC fans are, they're asking for Beyonce's performing in places to be more linked in with the pro-gay, uplifting gay black culture album that she just put out, which touches upon everything from Kevin Aviance to the ballroom scene, you know, all queer, you know, stuff. It was seen as a love letter to the queer community. Mm-hmm. So Dubai, which, you know, it's illegal to be gay. You know, trans people have reported getting their passports taken. So this is why people have an issue with this. And I mean, I love looking around at the comments. This, I mean, Beyonce's, Princess Deandra, who was on the show discussing Tina Turner, was agreeing with many of her friends online that they're picking Beyonce apart because she's a person of color, or as Deandra said, colored. It's because she's colored. Because they said Gaga, Dua Lipa, and Elton John, and others.
Madonna.
Yeah, I don't, could be. I don't. That's
Kylie
right. And Kylie have been over there performing.
Paul McCartney, Prince, Eminem, Aerosmith, Tom Jones, the Eagle, Justin Bieber, all these people have performed in the UAE.
Yes. And so when people don't make a stink about it and they're saying we boost the our gay fans, you know, or we are gay and or queer in the case of Gaga and Elton John, etc.
Oh, Gaga's queer? I didn't know that.
She calls herself queer. I mean,
oh, work. I didn't know that.
She, yeah. So, I mean, to me, you're, yeah. Right. Well, now, I do know that Beckham did an ad campaign.
Beckham?
Yes. No, not, no, the guy.
David.
David did a,
Hey, that's not fair. You don't know how Victoria identifies today. You don't know how she identifies. How dare you?
I don't know how David identifies either. He might be the wife or the husband for all I know, or both. So he might be doing a three-way with Cher and her man. But no one did say anything that I'm aware of about that, about those artists performing there, though they did say something about David Beckham doing an ad campaign with Qatar. They gave him grief over it. In saying that she is, you know, signaling that she's a big friend to the gay community, that kind of set her up, you know, to receive this criticism.
I think, yes and no, I think that even if Beyonce did not put out Renaissance, that was so heavily queer and this quote-unquote love letter to the queer community, I still think Beyonce would get this backlash because, one, Beyonce has a very big gay fan base. Like, Beyonce's fans are black and gay. Not those two exclusively, but, like, a lot of her fans are black people and queer people. Like, that is, I mean, I'm not a statistician. I don't run the numbers, but I think that is the bulk of Beyonce's fan base, right?
Well, I'm a DJ. Trust me, it's white people too, and not all
white
gay.
White people too. Right. So, but honestly, well, Beyonce is also, she's an artist. She transcends all that. Everybody fucking loves Beyonce. Everyone loves Beyonce. And I think that even if Beyonce did not put out Renaissance, except for Bob, right, I think that people would have still, she would have still received this backlash from going and performing in the UAE. And I mean, again, to your point, does Beyonce need 35 million dollars? Probably not. But who would say no to that amount of money? Like, that is...
Yeah, and I mean, her dad has defended her. She has not issued a statement, but I mean, she obviously doesn't want to cause rifts with her fan base. So she could say, "Well,
Beyonce never talks, though. She never talks."
But she could make a statement or give 10 million or 5 million of it to some, you know, gay organization that says she didn't fully understand the repercussions of it or whatever. But I want to suggest one other thing here. You know, I do not trust what is written in the media at all times. I compare different sources, and first of all, you're never going to get any correct info from a Beyonce superfan, right? Because they love Beyonce and they're going to defend her. So, you know, T.S. Madison went on TMZ to discuss Beyonce. Of course, T.S. Madison is on the album Renaissance. They sampled her voice. Mm-hmm. And I love T.S. Madison, but all she said is she's going over to get her bag. A lot of girls go over there and get their bag. Okay, but when you go over there to get your bag in a place where you've just released a pro-queer album and you're going to a very pro-queer place, it does make people, you know, second guess.
Yeah, the opposite of that is not great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, Lupita Nyong'o, you know, from Black Panther, did a deal with the controversial diamond company from South Africa, land of apartheid at one time, De Beers. I mean, Beyonce also wore that yellow Tiffany diamond, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's considered not so great as someone who says that they, you know, boost black people, because if you want to make this connection, the Tiffany diamond is from the company that is deeply steeped in colonial history and slicing up Africa for exploitation. But that doesn't mean that Beyoncé has to care about that. She cannot care about it if she doesn't want to.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's something that, is going to blow over in a little bit, and people are going to be like, I don't think this is going to hurt Beyoncé per se. And I think that in a week, maybe, you know, I'll give them 2 weeks. People are going to move on from this story, and it's going to be like it never happened. Just like, I remember when she did those Tiffany commercials with that yellow diamond, people were upset for like a good solid 2 weeks, and then people just moved on.
But you see, what makes me wonder are the people that are the upset, are they SZA's fans or some competing, you know, Cardi B? Are they?
I am surprised that you know who SZA is. I am gagged right now.
Well, I just cut my hair with a pair of my own hair with a pair of scissors, and it looks horrible and gray. But anyway, I do know who SZA is, but you know how they are, you know. And it's like, I want to, like, I'm a big Shirley Bassey fan, who is a Welsh singer from the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. Still, she's still going, but she's half black now. During the time of apartheid in South Africa, when that became a cause célèbre to say South Africa was separating blacks and whites, that's what apartheid is, separate country, she went to sing in South Africa and was heavily criticized for it. And do you know what she said?
What?
She said, "I'm a singer. I go where they pay me to sing." So I do have to admire, as did Princess Deandra, that fuck them all. You know, this is my job. You don't tell me how to do it. You're jealous, you know, that you're not making 24. You know what I mean? And now I want to criticize the press and the left, because I looked this up when it first happened. There were not reputable articles on it. Now it's in the BBC and the Guardian and whatnot.
Oh, on Beyoncé?
Oh yeah. Yahoo,
I saw it in the Guardian. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Guardian, when I looked at this, it was articles that quoted some of Beyoncé's queer fans are having an issue with like this. And the article, as many articles do nowadays, put up maybe 3 or 4 tweets of people who may not even have had that much following. The press is trying to amplify issues that are not important to most, because they don't want to talk about why people can't afford a carton of eggs and milk. You know, I mean, this is just like, you know, and so I was quoted last week in an article about Drag Queen Story Hours in The Guardian. You know, I've relied on them as a news source for a while, but I don't know if we saw the same article, Monet, but I just wrote this down because I can't believe it, because they're not just mad about performing in Beyoncé performing in Dubai. They're mad because they have bad labor situations in the UAE. And I'm like, so, you know, this is what the article says. Representatives for Beyoncé have not responded to requests for comment on her decision to perform in the country. Her dad did. I don't know when that happened. Maybe after this article. Defenders among her fan base have also noted that there have been no recorded arrests, prosecutions, or state punishment for same-sex activity in UAE since at least 2015, when it became more illegal, or there was a law that went on the books against gays. But it bears stating, this is The Guardian, that 81.1% of UAE's total population is made up of migrant workers. What this means in practice is that both gay Emiratis through citizenship and wealthy migrant workers through class have been privileged enough to navigate UAE's underground gay social scene while evading Emirati authorities. But for poorer queer migrant workers from India, Bangladesh, Egypt, and the Philippines, many of whom are undocumented or were denied birth certificate, it cannot be assumed that a lack of recorded prosecutions means that the UAE has been safe for that. Wait a minute. Beyonce did not just put out an album about the undocumented immigrants in Bangladesh and Egypt and Philippines. She put out a queer-leaning album. Is she supposed to worry about everything that the Emiratis has done or UAE? I mean, what? How can you place these expectations on people?
I agree. It becomes a little... I agree. Like, you... It's a tricky thing because now that we are in 2023 when we have more knowledge, right? This isn't the 80s where people did not have literally the smartest computer, the answer to every question in the world in the palm of your hand, in your pocket, right? So it's not the 80s. It's not the 90s where that wasn't a thing. Now everyone has the devices where you can find out all these things, but at the same time, you cannot expect an artist to be this prop to vanquish all this evil in the world. And if they perform, if I go perform in Texas, am I saying that I'm okay with abortion rights and all that? Of course this is a much smaller scale, but if I go and perform in somewhere like Texas, like Florida, I'm not saying that I am okay with all the policies. I'm not saying if I go perform in Florida, I'm okay with banning African American studies in school. I'm not saying that, but I am an artist, and I'm still going to go there and perform and service those people who want to see that show, who need that show.
Yes, and this was one argument that Beyonce has queer fans in, you know, Dubai. It's very, very different, you know, with different level performers, because, you know, no one, like, he has a right to, as T.S. Madison said, go and get her bag. But when you set yourself up as this activist and you don't, like Shirley Bassey, say, let's stick to the music. I get a check when I sing. They booked me. Enough said. You know?
I mean, that was really good at that. Dolly Parton is really good. Dolly Parton is fucking Switzerland. She is neutral. She does not talk about politics. She keeps that shit cute. She keeps it on mute. And Beyonce speaks up a lot for like black issues, and I guess we can say this last album, if we can stretch and say it was political, but Beyonce is, I mean, she, that's not true. She did stump for Obama and stuff like that. So yeah, there. But again, these are also times where it was a little different, right? The stakes felt higher, and we were all really looking at artists to like kind of like let us know where they're at, so we know how to spend our dollars. So in the past like 5-10 years, the landscape on this stuff and this issue, I feel, has changed a lot.
I think that Beyonce's activism is like so many people's, rooted in branding, and you know, that's why some of her, you know, like, you know, the being in a, wearing the yellow Tiffany diamond is like, honey, okay, so you're boosting black people, but maybe not making this connection. Or she tried to come out with Alicia Keys and do a no makeup for girls campaign, and I was like, honey, we don't have nose jobs and, you know, $1 million therapists to work on our skin, you know, and perfect it, and you know, I'm just like, let a booger wear some makeup and shut up on that one, because you're wearing makeup in almost everything and then taking photos that are airbrushed and telling us not to wear makeup. So this is my thing. If Shirley Bassey were to be outed today as a pedophile, the Bond, James Bond movie themes would still stir me, the ones that she sings. I would still be thrilled by, you know, her singing This Is My Life, because I can separate it. Joan Rivers, I love, but she said awful things about Palestinians. I don't have to make it where I'm weighing everyone up. I can like a person for their music and not their politics.
I agree.
I think most people are the same way.
For the most part, I can. I mean, R. Kelly's an example, right? R. Kelly is so deeply embedded into lots of Black cultures at baby showers, at weddings, at high school graduation and stuff like that. But I can't separate him from what he's done. I think that what he's done is egregious, and I can't separate. I can't take away Step in the Name of Love. I can't separate I Believe I Can Fly. I can't do that. So I just can't listen to him, period. But some people can.
Well, I mean, I love Step in the Name of Love. I like some stuff he produced for Nivea, Don't Mess With My Man and stuff like that. But my frustration with R. Kelly is that he never made any advances to urinate on me. I thought he was very sexy. I'm probably not young enough for him. The time that I dressed as Aaliyah and hung outside his home for several months did not work.
Oh my God. Irony. Let's switch gears a little bit onto someone who's actually choreographed for Beyonce. Miss Todrick Hall is also, I mean, but Todrick stay in the fucking, like, people just hate Todrick Hall. People hate Todrick Hall. And now Todrick Hall is part of this show called The Real Friends of WeHo, which is kind of like a gay spin on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, obvious, or The Real Housewives of whatever city. And it aired.
I haven't seen it, but it looks awful.
I haven't seen it yet either. And it's following like five or six influential gays around Los Angeles and their lives and blah, 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 blah. And I haven't seen it, but Bob and I are in the first episode, the top of the first episode, because we did a podcast with Todrick Hall, and we wanted to address all the things about not paying his dancers, is the house really yours, the Manila Luzon thing, and like the Big Brother scandal. Like, we wanted to address all that stuff, and so we filmed it for the show. It only ended up being like a minute-long segment, but it was like a full-long podcast we did. If you want to listen to it, it's a Patreon exclusive on Me and Bob's podcast. And, you know, and people were like a little upset that Bob and I were in it, but like to go online and to see like the visceral reaction people are having to Todrick Hall and with this show, like there's this viral clip of, I think, a bar in Virginia, and after Drag Race gets done, they put on the Real Friends of WeHo comes on, and then the bar shuts it off. When I tell you, the bar just erupts in cheering, clapping, screaming, and like excitement that they put the show off. And then it's raised a lot of questions about how can we better support each other? Because I mean, there are a million of these housewives shows. You know, there's Housewife Potomac, Atlanta, mm-hmm. Beverly Hills, Orange County, New York, New Jersey, and like it's pretty much all the same thing. But the difference is that this is an only gay cast. Now they could have been better at making it more diverse, having maybe some trans representation on there, having some other folks on there. But nonetheless, it is still a gay show showing. Yes, they were looking to cast drag queens. They asked me about it. I had a casting meeting with them, and for whatever reason, it didn't go forward than that. I don't know why. So there could have been more efforts to diversify the cast and make it more representative of all the people who want to watch the show. But I think a lot, I'm sure the other cast members are getting backlash too, but it just seems like everyone is like, no, especially not him, Todrick, we hate him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling so much hatred for him. Because once again, fans, super fans, are often unhinged people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so obviously people are not, they're not liking the fact that Drag Race episodes are shorter. And then before Untucked, Todrick's new show comes on in between them. Can you stop being mentally ill for a second and realize that the cast of Todrick's show, including Todrick, has not, and probably never will, set schedules on MTV?
Right.
Todrick Hall did not sign off on a deal that said Drag Race would be 20 minutes or 50 minutes, if you're talking 90-minute episodes, shorter. Mm. So you cannot blame that on Todrick, babies. If you want to say something about that, you talk to World of Wonder, MTV, whoever made that decision. It is not Todrick. Can you think? Like, if you really don't want Drag Race to be shorter, can you think?
Yeah, like that. Like, yeah, like they're not making no decision. That is a network. The network has made that decision that they want Drag Race to be 60 minutes and not 90 minutes. Like they're the Todrick and the other friends of WeHo are not pulling those strings. Also, we're forgetting Drag Race used to be 60 minutes. Drag Race only changed to 90 minute episodes, I think, season 10. So all the season before that, even season 9 that had 14 girls, Bob's season I think had 10 girls, and like the Drag Race used to be 60 minutes. So people are like, Now they can't even fit everything into the episode. That's how it always was. Now again, this is a big season where we have 16 girls. We're down to 13 now. So now it may feel the 60 minutes. I'm curious to see if people are still going to be critiquing it, saying that we can't fit everything in. I'm like, this was always Drag Race. This was Drag Race for 10 years. So people thinking that they're not getting the amount of Drag Race they're usually getting because of the real friends of WeHo. Like, girl, that's not the case.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's because of the real friends of WeHo, although if they're getting less Drag Race and they love the show, you know, what about this, people? Do you know how to get what you want? Why don't you send a nicely worded letter instead of to World of Wonder or MTV and say, this show means the world to me and blah, 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 and I'm mentally ill? No, come on, you know, but the thing is, what I don't like to see is a pile-on to Todrick. And I posted something on Instagram that got, you know, a lot of, you know, arguing and stuff, where I said, you heard online that Todrick didn't pay his dancers. You heard online that he preferred white backup dancers in his act to black backup dancers, and you didn't like him on, what was it, Big Brother that he was on?
Big Brother, yeah.
Big Brother, and you did not like him on Big, so, okay, out the window goes sense. You've had hearsay, you know, about this, and then you've heard, you know, you didn't like him on Big Brother. Okay, what are we talking about here, folks? We're talking about reality TV where they reward the villain. When Flav had his show, New York, the contestant, where we're supposed to believe that anyone is competing for the love of Flava Flav. I like black guys. I wouldn't touch his 10-foot pole with a 10-foot pole if he had one. I mean, come on. You know, but New York was such a bitch that she got her own show out of it.
This is
what reality TV does. So while some pretend to be, you know, rosier than other, if you get screen time, which translates to dollars and bookings and everything else, if you are a villain. Who do we know from Real Housewives of Atlanta? NeNe Leakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like you can't participate in the world of reality TV and then say, we're not aware that it creates villains, when the whole thing gets its plots from villains. And they were all criticizing me. Before I go into some of the criticism, I want to say this. I have heard people who I trust, like Manila, post about how Todrick did not pay her. I've never known Manila to lie, and I know her quite well. We've traveled together extensively on these tours, and she just doesn't seem like a liar. Also, I don't know her to air out her personal business.
We talked about on the thing, and what the case was, and people can listen to it, was that it was like let's say, Pieces Bar is hosting the Lady Bunny Halloween party, right? Pieces Bar, Lady Bunny presents a Halloween party at Pieces Bar. Like, you are hired as the attraction, and then they hire Monet Exchange and Bob the Dragon and Bianca Del Rio to perform. So at the end of the night, I come up like, hey, Bunny, where's my money? And you're like, girl, I was hired at Pieces just like you. Like, Pieces has your money. I'm like, no, but it says, but it's your picture on the, it says Lady Bunny's Holiday Bash. It says Lady Bunny's Halloween Bash, so you're paying me, right? No, bitch, I got hired just like you. Go ask Pieces for your money. I don't have your money. That's the situation that happened with Manila and Todrick.
So Todrick didn't owe money to Manila.
No.
The venue that also hired Todrick did.
Exactly. It was like Todrick's Halloween, whatever, and Manila was hiring other girls. And then at the end of the night, allegedly, I don't know, I wasn't there, so I can't say for sure. Manila was like, hey, Todrick, where's my money? And he's like, oh, baby, I was hired by this club just like you, so like they should have my money. I'm like, but it's your party, though, so you have to pay me. That, I think that's the situation that happened.
Okay, well, I mean, you know what? I would love to know what Manila said about that.
We should have her.
Yeah, we should have her. I adore her. And listen, because I adore her, that doesn't mean that her name is 100% gold. That her word is 100% gold. I've met Todrick. I do not know Todrick well. He seemed cordial. I think he's very attractive. His music is not always my thing, but I like Dem Beats with RuPaul. But whatever. I don't just hear stuff online, and because I like Manila, that was the point of my post, I decide, let's get him. He ruined Drag Race and my favorite reality show, Big Brother. You know, it's like, so this is like the Salem Witch Trials mentality, where you are hysterical in your hatred and you are accusing people of hearsay. I just don't think it's a rational way to do things.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I know Todrick very well. Todrick is a friend of mine, and I don't know Todrick to be a liar. I don't know Todrick. Again, we talked about, you know, the whole thing with the not paying the dancers, and the situation was that was he posted a thing online, which I've done for my music videos. Like when I did Soak It Up, I said, hey guys, I'm filming my music video Soak It Up in LA. If you're in LA and you have time, here's the address. I mean, email with this email address and we'll send you the address. You can come and be an extra in the video. This is not paid. He had like the same situation for his videos, and then people were expecting to be paid after knowing that they were not going to be paid. We talked about the Big Brother thing, about him going on camera saying the thing about this cameo and stuff like that. I'm like, well, girl, like, why would you say that about Cameo? Like that, like you dug that.
What did
yourself.
He say? Well, now, first of all, that's very interesting, and I'm glad that I came to the right person to ask. So you're saying that it sounds, from what you've discussed with Todrick, who you know better than I know him, mm-hmm. that was a misunderstanding with the payment regarding Manila, and that the dancers were never offered pay.
Exactly, which again I have done. He did say that there have been situations because Todrick runs all of his own stuff, and he can be more responsible about that, about getting a better business manager, or whatever. But they have been like a couple times where someone was supposed to be paid, and they got the payment really late because it just got over his head, and he forgot to get them the money, or send the Zelle, or send the Venmo. But the person ended up getting paid. It just may have taken longer than it should have because he was managing all of his own finances on his own, and he fucked up, which he owned up to, which. Mm-hmm. Again, being a small business owner and an artist myself, that has happened to me. And they sent me a reminder like, hey girl. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry. And then I'll like send them money right away. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. I forgot. It's my bad. You know what I mean? I've been there too. You know?
I have too. I spoke with my lawyer today and forgot that I owed him money and never even mentioned it. And thank God he didn't mention it, because I would have felt so stupid because he sent me the bill. But you know, and look, you know, but. I just, you know, it's just because you don't like someone. I mean, Todrick, I guess it was found that he was renting a house that he said that he'd owned. So I'm not necessarily a fan of Todrick's beyond Dem Beats. I mean, I'm not interested in Wizard of Oz raps. But when you just constantly dogging somebody, you know, and I'm not saying that he hasn't done things that I mean, clearly they've rubbed people the wrong way. They were back in the day, he was too white. He was, he had the nerve to say something nice about Taylor Swift. So he was like, you know, an enemy of black people. I'm like, so when you're an up and coming artist, if some Taylor Swift size artist asks you to be in the video, you might need to do it.
Yeah, well, that was another conversation that I ended up having with our Patreons and Patreon about a part of the Todrick conversation that I've not really been familiar about, or I was just not aware of, is that some people were disgruntled, who used to be big fans of Todrick, disgruntled because of the bit of misogynoir that maybe in some of his comedy, like, you know, like kind of mocking black women or making like a mockery of blackness in that way. And I have two minds about it. I can hear black women and say when they feel like a portrayal of them is really hurtful and it really gets at them. I get that. But also, I'm not in the business of telling black people how they can or cannot, you know, be black. You know what I mean? Like, if that's the case, then we need to fucking get at Martin Lawrence for Shanae. We need to get at Jamie Foxx for Wanda. We need to shut Tyler Perry down. Like, I am not in the business of telling black people how they can or cannot be black. But I do think there is maybe a conversation to be had about, you know, a black man using black women as caricatures and it being denigrating in that way. I think that may be a conversation to be had, but not, I'm not about telling a black person, oh, you're being too black, or you too ghetto, or like, no, to me that's disgusting, that's gross. I would never say that. I would never fix my mouth to tell another person that.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, it's a conversation that might need to be had, but let's separate that. Because you want to have him stop demeaning black women, if indeed that's what he did. We've just seen someone not only saying Beyonce's wrong in The Guardian for performing in Dubai, but also for performing somewhere where they had undocumented workers that weren't treated well. I mean... Girl, this is the other thing. I mean, you know, Ellen DeGeneres was canceled because of an allegedly toxic workplace. She was considered to be not her rosy character that she pretends to be on air, like the goofy comedian, but actually someone who was quite hard-boiled. Maybe you would call that a bitch, although some people would say that was misogynist to call women a bitch if they were just hard-nosed. So, I mean, her staff was doing things like inappropriate proposals, but, you know, now her show is gone. I didn't like her comedy. You know, I didn't watch the show. But I don't like this witch hunt thing. And, you know, you can have a conversation about Todrick being demeaning towards black women with caricatures in his performance, but just because you dislike him for that, if you do dislike him for that, that does not mean that he's automatically guilty of every other allegation. And,
agreed.
You know, an allegation of sexual, it's an allegation.
Yeah, I agree. This thing about getting mad at other celebrities, like getting mad at like me or Bob or whoever is for being friends with Todrick, like I think that there is this like phenomenon where, I mean, again, it's a fan base that I'm a part of, so maybe it's a part of other things, but I'm not really, you know, I'm not part of those things. Of like Drag Race fans specifically, like if you are friends or you know or you are nice to or cordial to someone they don't like, they get really upset and they cannot believe that you are. You have the audacity that you are so audacious that you would be friends with and like someone that they don't like. It is. Again, this may exist in other fan bases. I'm not a part of those. I'm part of Drag Race, obviously. It baffles me. I'm so confused by that.
Well, let me tell you, darling, friendship runs deeper than politically correct posturing online. And yeah. There's a lot of people that'll call me transphobic. Guess who the two volunteers to help me change backstage at Wickstock were? Trans people. Guess who came to pick me up from the hospital when they wouldn't release me alone after surgery? A trans person who didn't even have enough money to get, who is actually a QAnon type. But she brought me two big things of homemade soup so I wouldn't have to worry about food for a minute, and didn't even have cab fare to get home. You know, I mean, until I gave it to her. That is a sister. So you may not understand, you know, who is in my life or how I could, you know, even be with someone who you think is gross or who may even sat and watched the January 6th and thought, good, you know. But there are bonds between us in the real world outside of our politics.
Yeah, gold bonds.
Well, we both use that powder. But anyway, I think we're, you know, I am not a fan of Todrick. You know, I'm sticking up.
I don't like Todrick, but.
No, but that's not why I'm sticking up, because that's what we see, people like Beyonce fans or, you know, whoever, they'll stick up for, they can't even see reason sometimes anymore because they're so gung-ho. But I'm not sticking my neck out for Todrick. Hey, he could be guilty of everything, you know, but you've just told me that he may not be, according to him, guilty of a couple things, and you can't just live on allegations.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I really look at the comments in his post sometimes, and like stuff. I'm like, oh my god, if people hated me this, like I would have to choose, I would be gone. Like this, I just could not take that every day. I mean, every time I look at Todrick's post, it's like nonstop. I'm like, Jesus Lord. And again, a lot of it is based on this stuff. And it's some of it is unsubstantiated. It's like, it's not even true. Like, what are y'all talking about? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and hey, I retain the ability to make fun of anybody who gets in half drag and half boy drag and does a Wizard of Oz rap song. But I just want to treat people fairly, and you know, I'm not sure that that's what's happening here. I didn't see him on Big Brother, so I don't know what he did on there, but you know.
Yeah. Oh wow. Well, you know, maybe one day we can have Todrick on this podcast, because I would love to actually hear you and Todrick talk, Baby Bunny.
Yeah, well, I mean, when he came to see us at the Drive and Drag tour, we were way out on Randall's Island or somewhere way up in the Bronx. You know, yo, because that's how I roll, yo. And he came into our trailer and, you know, we were saying hi. That was the first time we properly met. And he was saying that he was on the way to London and had a layover there. And then he found out that his house had been robbed, and he was listing all of the designer stuff that had been stolen. And I kind of thought, was that designer stuff really there to be stolen, or does he just want us to think that they were there?
Yeah, no, I've been to Todrick's house. It is one of the most extravagant places I've ever been to. It is crazy. It is. Todrick's house is insane. It is an insane home. So I believe him. His house is crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just like thinking, you know, this was the absolute last night of our tour, the second show. And I was literally sitting there thinking, if I was headed to London the last time, I mean, thank you for coming by, but the last place I would want to be is on a goddamn outdoor June hot festival in a drag queen's stank dressing room.
Especially yours with like the three-week-old unwashed tights. It's probably disgusting in there.
That's right. So for that reason that he took a break to come and see us on the route to London, he should be pilloried.
Right.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.